Well, greeting to you, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Glad to have you aboard tonight. Praise Yahweh. And call a friend and tell them that the Shepherd's Call is on air. We're live and direct here. Praise Yahweh. And this is the 7th of December, and we are moving right along, praise Yahweh, toward a beginning of a new year, according to the Greek calendar. Praise Yahweh. So we're looking forward to exciting times. We are living in those times now. And it's very important as you go through life to strive to enter in at the straight gate. Now, the Bible says if the eye is single, the body is full of light. Now, what does that mean? That means that if you set your goal on one thing, that is to achieve entrance, admittance, knowledge, perfection, or other attributes that we could name and go on and on and on, dedication, loyalty, purpose, direction, and things of this nature, that's all combined into your pursuit of the kingdom of heaven. Now, if you gain the whole world, many wise and many powerful, famous, world-famous men have left their mark on this earth, but they have never knocked on the door to the kingdom of heaven. So then, what does it make you if you gain the whole world and lose your soul in the pursuit and exchange for the things of this world compared to the things that are laid up for your pursuit, if you will go there? And let me tell you who pursues the spiritual things. Only those that have a loyal heart to the Creator. Those that have purposed in their heart to serve Him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Only those that have put on the whole armor that will stand when the going gets tough. You will be tried when you knock on heaven's door. It is just like crawling an infiltration course through reality. I mean, Satan comes in like a flood when you dedicate and obligate and purpose your life to the Mighty One, Yahweh. Now, why would that be? Well, the Bible says you will be tried as gold tried in the fire. Now, tonight we're going into the consolation of Aries, the realm, and it depicts much suffering. And that's why that I'm telling you tonight that the Bible says that they that live godly in the Messiah, Yahweh Shua, the Christ, shall suffer persecution. And so then, if you're not willing to suffer, then you won't reign with Him. So you must put on a dedicated heart, mind, and soul, and strength to love your Creator. This must be the only, and I repeat, I know there's a lot of distractions here, and we have life to live and necessary to eat and things of this nature, but the Bible said, give no thought for those things. They shall be provided for you by the Eternal Father. He provides for the sparrows, and they labor not, and they toil not, they don't fret and weary, but the Father takes care of them, and not one of them will fall to the ground. Think about this, the millions and millions and millions of birds, some of them laying less than probably a half an ounce. They're very small. And not one of those would fall to the ground without alerting the Father and Him being aware of it. So you see how very sensitive He is. You're much more valuable than the sparrows. And, of course, you're much more valuable than the realm suffering that we're going to teach on in the Consolation series. Tonight, this is chapter 8 of the series, and we're moving right along in the Consolation series. And when we finish up, you can have all of the 13 audio tapes that we have here available for $30. If you'll just send us $30, we'll pay the shipping. And that's very cheap. We're just offering a special. We want to teach you about the Consolation series, and these will be 1 hour. They'll be 13 hours of teaching for $30. Now, how are you going to beat a deal like that? Praise Yahweh. So we offer that to you as a tribute to your interest and your pursuit of knowledge. Now, again, the Scripture says we can be, possibly, if we don't pursue knowledge, we can be destroyed for the lack of it. Now, that means the more knowledge we have, and the Bible goes in, I don't know the scriptures that I could bring where it encourages you to grow in grace and knowledge. Now, if you don't grow, if something stunts your growth, if you start a good race, most people start out when they get converted or illuminated, and then they fizzle out just like the Alka-Seltzer laying in the bottom of the glass when she's all fizzed, the fizz is over. So don't be a fizzed out seltzer for Yahweh. Be a burning bush and remain hot. The Bible said, because you're neither hot or cold, I will spew you out of my mouth. Now, for this series of teachings, you will gain 13 hours of valuable knowledge of the sequential events that the Father painted before the foundation of the earth, meaning that in the heavens, this was already declared when he spun this little ball of matter into existence and put it in its eternal orbit. Ladies and gentlemen, the awesomeness of our Creator, that he would dare to paint a royal picture. Now, only the wise will understand. You see, the men that found the Messiah wrapped in swaddling clothes, and we're coming up to that pagan day of Christmas, when they say that he was born in December 25th, nobody knows that to be a fact, and we understand why they do that, because it is the winter solace that they celebrate, the sun going into its latest stage of death, burial, and resurrection for the spring equinox. And so these systems of the four equinox partitions of the zodiac is what we're going to deal with, and that's why we're into this constellation series, to give you an understanding. Now, we base all of our facts upon Numbers chapter 2. If you was to overlay the information in Numbers chapter 2 and put it precisely as the Father told Moses for the 12 tribes of Israel to camp, and then put in the birth signs of these encampments and the children of Israel, and then draw in the constellations, the 12, and overlay them, you would have a perfect image of what the Father painted in the heavens. Now, let's get into the series of Aries. Very exciting. This is a wonderful, wonderful series because it depicts the ram, or in better, let's use the lamb. And that's what it really is. The figure in this constellation is that of a vigorous lamb. Its Hebrew name is Teleth, meaning the lamb. The Arabic name is Al-Hamal, the sheep, the merciful, the gentle. In Syrian, it is called Imru, the lamb, the same as John 1:29, where it says in the scriptures, and I quote, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." The ancient Adanicans called this figure Bar Zigar, Bar meaning altar or sacrifice, Zigar meaning right making, so that the full name would mean the sacrifice of righteousness. Ladies and gentlemen, these things are just awesome. And you probably have been told that all this in the constellations is astrology, witchcraft, when they have hidden the very truth, they have dumbed you down and made you ignorant and fearful and superstitious, fear to look up. The Bible tells you that there'll be signs in heaven. What do you think he's talking about? He's talking about the 12 constellations where it has a message written in the clouds. Literally speaking, praise Yahweh. Now, to the Egyptians, by the time of the 18th dynasty, Aries represented Amon, the supreme sun god, the king of all gods, and they portrayed him as a man with the head of a ram, and in the zodiac of Dendera, however, they picture Aries as a lamb without horns, and crowned with a circle which is called Chemlorus, Amon, which means the reign of the dominant or government of the righteous one. Oh, hallelujah. Praise Yahweh. Now, its chief star in the forehead of this lamb, and right there's where this star is placed, by the way, it is named El-Naf or El-Nati, which means wounded and slain. Ladies and gentlemen, how much clearer, how much more glorious and wonderful would it be? Now, in the brightest star, next to the brightest star in the left horn, is Al-Sharatan, meaning the bruised or the wounded. In the year of the crucifixion of the Messiah, the chief star of this constellation shone overhead at the noonday darkening of the sun on the day that the Lamb of God was slain for the sin of Israel. The mythical stories concerning Aries fully identify him with the Lamb of God. This mysterious lamb was given by Nephthiel to her two children, Parax and Heli. When Enlu, who their immortal stepmother, was about to have them sacrificed to Jupiter, it was by seating themselves on the lamb's back and clinging to its fleece that the children were able to make their escape. These two children, as did the two fishes, symbolized as Israel under sentence of death, Israel was redeemed by the blood of the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of Israel. Now, isn't that wonderful? This lamb was sacrificed to Jupiter. Now, this is the mythology series that we, there's also a lot of speculation and conjecture on their part as they try to interpret. But they got so close, it's amazing that they knew that this constellation of Aries would be the constellation of an offering, a sin offering, and it shows a ram or a lamb without horns, who, when they offered the true picture of Aries, as he was sacrificed for us and died in our stead, and it says in the scriptures of Revelations 5 and 12, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive his power, which is in wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. What a message, ladies and gentlemen, in the high heavens, in the consolation of Aries. Now, even the Egyptians celebrated a sacred feast to the ram upon the entrance of the sun into the sign of Aries. Now, I have already told you that the astronomers today, they break into the heavenly circle at Aries. They began with the suffering part. But ladies and gentlemen, we've got to go back and break into the circle in the proper place. This is why that the scriptures are always indicating that the astrologers were wrong, that they had misinterpreted the soothsayers and the magicians, and that's why most people frown or look down or are told that this was wrong or that it was witchcraft when we talk about the wise men in the Bible. The Bible doesn't imply that whatsoever. The Bible says that the men that knew the position of the stars were considered to be wise, as it is in the 5th chapter of Daniel, where he was considered the master astrologer. Read it for yourself. In the 5th chapter, 18th verse, the master astrologer of all of the learned elders of Babylon. And why was Daniel the master of all the astrologers? Because his knowledge far exceeded the interpretational aspects of the movement of the stars in heaven. You say, oh, it doesn't matter. Well, the Bible says they're put there for signs. And if the signs are like a giant wheel, turning, cogged wheel, as it turns and churns out a message, if you are able to read the positioning of the stars. And for this cause, you would be called, scripturally speaking, a wise man. Remember, it was the wise men from the east that found the manger where Christ laid, and there they presented him with gifts. Now, isn't it strange that we all think that they were three wise men? And most people will quote you when you ask them, well, how many wise men were they that come to see Christ? And 9 times out of 10, everybody will say, oh, they were three. Just because they were three gifts laid at the feet of the little infant child, the Messiah, the creator of the earth in flesh, if you will, veiled, we assume, everybody assumes, that they were three. The Bible never does say that there are three. It says the wise men. They were more than one, could have been three, could have been a half a dozen, could have been a party of 50 or 100 for that matter. Who knows? But you see, these misconceptions that we get into our mind, these things are very easy to come into our thinking as they seem right. And most people today seem like it is good for us when I teach on the constellations and astrology and astronomy. Everybody says, oh, that's witchcraft, Pastor Buddy. You're not supposed to get into that, glory to God. And I say, well, where does it say it's witchcraft? Well, I was always told it was, glory to God. Well, you see, what you're told and what is the actual facts is two different things. You must not go with what you're told. You must study to show yourself approved, workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rather dividing the word of truth. The wise men were astrologers. They could position and put a fix with astronomy, reckoning of the star systems as they moved. Then they had to have the ability to know the interpretation of the movement of the stars. They saw his star in the east, and they knew that a king was to be born upon the earth in this era of the time of the conjunction of these great stars. Isn't it wonderful that they had this knowledge? Have you got this knowledge? Do you know anything about the stars at all? Do you know that there is a band of constellations of stars flung around the earth? And that these constellations have pictorial graph signs, that when you link these stars together, you can see the images of the creatures that Paul mentioned that eventually would be worshipped as the Creator. And therefore, Yahweh would turn you over to a reprobate mind. See, we're not to worship these creatures. We are to interpret these star systems in the constellation and the bands, and then interpret the message that the Father wove in there, esoterically, for our understanding and comprehension. That's what he wanted you to do. Not that it was wrong to do it. The wrong is worshiping, as the Babylonian astrologers and many so-called false astrologers now do today. And when you go to someone that can read your hora, now, listen to this. Where in the world did they ever come up with the word horoscope? Who did that? Could that have been purposed? Could that then to throw you off or make you terrified to have your chart or your star according to your birth date? Do you know that the Bible told Israel to carry a stone commemorating their birth signs? That's true. Now, why would they do that if it wasn't important? Everyone born under a particular sign has a characteristical instincts of that sign. There's nothing you can do about it. You say, oh, I can outdo that. I can be what I am. A tree is what it is. Like, you can't change your nature. A leopard can't change its spots, and neither can you change the influence of the star system that you're born under. It has purposeful meaning, and you came under that system for a reason, and that was to learn in that particular phase. Now, there's 12 phases, and 12 is the final, ultimate goal of the complete mind. And until you come into completeness, not willing that any should perish, the long-suffering of Yahweh giving you exchange to express yourself through the 12 gates here to become one. Isn't that wonderful? Praise Yahweh. The wisdom of Yahweh is, it is wonderful. Praise Yahweh. Now, we're going into the first of the minor constellations. Cassiopeia, the enthroned woman, is the first minor of the constellation of Aries. And here we see the figure of a queen woman, matchless in beauty. Remember in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelations how it expresses, if you want to know about astronomy and astrology, look into the 12th chapter and rightly interpret what the meaning that John saw. He actually saw a woman in the constellation. There she is here. And he saw her with the moon under her feet. Now what's that got to do with the text here? And the sun was above her head. Now, if you chart that, and astrologers and astronomers can do this. They can chart that particular era of time when the moon was in this affix in the sun and alignment, and they can go back into any generation of the past and indicate exactly what time period and what was going on at that particular time. This is amazing. But it's all knowledge, yet the learned ones, the ones that control you, want you to remain ignorant and dumb. You see, because of these priests of knowledge, they have figured this out a long time ago, ladies and gentlemen, that if they don't share the knowledge with the average Joe, then the average Joe remains average. and they with the knowledge are superior because knowledge is superior, and then therefore they use it to enslave. Does that sound familiar today with the system of the New World Order coming into view? That they can dumb down and get the ignorant masses to succumb to superstition, fear, and ignorance, and they themselves excel in knowledge, advanced knowledge, and therefore by this knowledge they control power over you. And that is what Satan has done. We're destroyed for the lack of knowledge, and we have become so ignorant, and we study everything. I mean, we watch, most people watch 4 to 6 hours of television every day, and it's nothing but sitcoms of sex and violence, and mostly violence and sex, either one, 6 1, half a dozen the other, and those two things sell, and then the advertisement, at the advertising market, they produce these things to entertain the carnal mind and the flesh. Have you ever withdrawn from the world for at least 40 days? Have you ever took you just water with you and refused to eat any pleasant food and to even change a pearl for 40 days? Well, the Messiah did. He went out into the wilderness, and there, I believe he looked up into the heavens, and there he saw the beautiful picture that he had painted in his wisdom before the world was. Ladies and gentlemen, the shepherd's call. Pastor Buddy, we're in Aries tonight in the Constellation of the Heaven State Team. We're coming back, and we're really going to speed up the adventure of Aries. Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Buddy in the Shepherd's Call. We're glad to have you sitting in with us tonight in the exploration of the Constellations of Heaven. We're going through a whole series of 12 of the constellations, and we take 1 hour to explain what each of these constellations mean. So there's 13 in the series of the tape. When we finish this great series, there will be 13 one-hour tapes, episodes in this great revelation. And you can take these 13 tapes and play them in the comfort of your home or in your automobile as you go to work, instead of listening to the rock and roll show or the dumb billies that are speaking on the radio. Just put in a tape and listen to the evidence of the heavens above you and learn something about your divine creator and the great wisdom that lays above your head. Now, we're in the second phase now of the second minor constellation within the constellation of Aries. We're going to look now at what is called Cletus, the sea monster in modern astrology. It is named Cletus. Now, this is an image of a great, looks to me like a great seal, which is an enemy of fish, by the way, and seal that would swallow up the fishes. This is a great monster that lays. It's the largest, by the way. It consists of 97 stars, so it's a big constellation. It is actually the largest of all the constellations, and it depicts a vast, scaly beast with an enormous head, a mouth and front paws, possessing the body and tail of a whale. It is considered an animal of the waters and the natural enemy and a devourer of fishes. This great sea monster is the true Leviathan of Job and in the book of Isaiah. The Creator asked Job a simple question. Can you draw out Leviathan with a hook, or his tongue with a cord which thou lettest down? Canst thou put a hook into his nose, or bore his jaw through with a thorn? This is in Job 41:1. Of course, you know in the 38th chapter of Job, that's where the adventure starts, and it starts in the constellation of Pleiades, or the seven sister star system there, and the constellation of Orion. And most people don't even know. Father spoke with Job. Job must have been a great astronomer and astrologer. Job is reputed to be the oldest of all the books in the Bible, even predating the book of Genesis. Now, we go back into the era of when the sons of God saw the heavens created, they shouted for joy. And so this wisdom was interwoven into the constellations, and Job was there because the Father asked him and reminded, don't you remember Job? And in the 38th chapter of the book of Job, it speaks about a word in there, a very, very, very mysterious word, if you don't know Hebrew, and that word is Maseroth. Can you bring forth a Nazaroth? Can you produce a Nazaroth, Job? Now, if the father considered that to be witchcraft, to produce a Nazaroth, why did he ask Job if he had the ability to do so? And then proceed to tell him about the great constellation of Orion, wherein laid the mysteries of the cornerstone of the foundations of the whole universe. These things are hidden, ladies and gentlemen, from those that dare not go there. And we got to go where even the angels fear to tread, and where they ever they've been cast out, that's where I want to go to. I don't want to stay down here with these fallen angels and mix and mingle as they were having them to do in the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis and lose my rightful place wherever my seat was in the heavens. I want my star. I claim my position. And I'm like a junkyard dog. I'm going to guard it, and I am going to defend it, and I am going to study to show myself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. I'm going to push my plate back. I'm going to fast. I'm going to pray. I'm going to go to a cave if I have to get away from this wicked world, and I'm going to slow down this rapid pace that the world is setting, caught up into all these things, fearful and mindful of the things of the world. I care not what this world's going to do. Let it blow all to hell. Who cares? If I'm prepared and I'm ready to go and I have made peace with my Maker, do I care that the world burns when the Scriptures tell me that He's coming back in flaming fire, and that when He comes back the second time, that He will come back in the fire to destroy them that destroy the earth? They get their just due. Praise Yahweh. Even so, come, Yahweh. Can't wait for you to get here. Now, if I love the world and I was overwhelmed with anxiety and fear, fearful looking at the things that are coming, and be caught up in that grip. You see, the world is caught up in a grip of anguish and despair and agony. And they're singing that song and thumping on their banjo of their mind, and they are caught up in the stress purposefully. This is caused by Babylon, the stress ones, to cause you to lose sight of your objective here, and that is to look up, ladies and gentlemen. If he don't come today, I'm looking for him in the morning. And I'm not disappointed, because I know his coming is in me. It ain't in the world. You see, the world never seen. The Bible said the kingdom of heaven cometh not with observation. You see, he's coming every day in my life. Praise Yahweh. I have a glorious revelation about him every day. Now, I'll live my life here to the fullest extent. I will pursue my objective here, which is to learn and to grow in grace and knowledge, and to avoid this great sea monster in the constellation of Aries. If I've got enough wisdom, I know what it's telling me here, that old seal is laying out there ready to devour the fish. And this seal is awesome. I mean, he's going to destroy you. And Satan, that's what Satan's job, kill, steal, and destroy. He's a KSD, if you will. That's kill, stealer, and a destroyer. And he does his job well. Well, if you'll do your job, you don't have to worry about it. I'm not caught up in woe is me. Praise Yahweh. I'm caught up in praise Yahweh. I have victory over death, hell, and the grave, and I'm ready. I'm ready for his coming, or I'm ready to be offered. Whichever comes first, I'm willing, able, and ready for the happening. Now, fashioned to the neck of this great monster that is located in the giant constellation here of Aries is the band which holds the fishes. Woo, hallelujah. Right in the ecliptic order of this, laying right next to where the fish are, Israel. Remember what Satan's job was? He came down to make war with the saints. That's Israel. And the Bible said he wore them out in the book of Daniel. Ladies and gentlemen, this seal here, I mean, he's bad to the bone. He's going to eat you if he can. He'll eat you lunch if you'll let him. He'll steal you, kill you, and destroy you. But notice, after passing the front foot of the hand or the foot of the lamb, clearly you can see this constellation is a striking symbol of a devil, or Satan, the great rebel whom Israel cannot bind. You see, folks, we have no power against this sea monster, this wolf seal, if you will, that swims in the sea of spirituality, ready to eat your lunch and have you if you can. Praise Yahweh. And many of the Israelites are falling victim to worry and concern, fretting and living out half their days, having their hearts fail them, and for looking on things coming up on the world. If you look at his coming in you, you wouldn't worry about what's coming on the earth. I enjoy everything. I know that there's nothing happening without, within or outside the will of Yahweh. So whatever happens, I get up every day and say, thank you, Yahweh. Now, here it says in Thessalonians, in all things, give thanks. Well, it don't say in all things, fret and murmur and complain as the rule of Jacob Israel is. It says to get up and get going. Praise Yahweh. And the tougher the going gets, the tougher the ones that's going become. Praise Yahweh. And that's what all this is for. So then, this rebel that is sitting in the heavens, depicted as this monster, is ready to devour the fishes, the two fishes. Now, one represents the 10 tribes of Israel, and the other represents Judah and Benjamin, the missing nation of Judah. And Benjamin they made one tribe. But there you have the 12 tribes. Now, that's the children of Israel. Now, we've got this thing that the Jews are God's chosen people. You see, the Jews are just one little minute part. That's the tribe of Judah. Now, there's Jews that say they're Jews. They're not. They're liars. But we're not concerned about that so much tonight. But we want to rightfully place the tribe of Judah in its proper place. It does have a place in the kingdom. So these two fishes represent Judah and Israel. And that makes up the 12 tribes. Now, with the split blessing, you remember that Jacob gave Joseph's son Ephraim and Manasseh. He adopted them into the tribe. And as we know, Levi was not an inheritor. So we only had 11 to inherit. So he adopted Ephraim to be the birthright son and give Manasseh a portion. Manasseh became Great Britain in the British Isles. And Ephraim became America the Great. And there we have it. Praise Yahweh. So, now here is the great monster ready to lash out. Because we find in the sign of Cletus a foreshadowing how the enthroned lamb will bind and punish Leviathan. Even as the written word of prophecy describes, for behold, Yahweh cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth shall also disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. In that day, Yahweh will, with his sore and great and strong sword, shall punish Leviathan. There it is. Praise Yahweh. The piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. Isaiah 26:21. And everybody gets a real carnal and say, well, you know, that's somewhere out there in the ocean. Glory to God. Ladies and gentlemen, the sea above your head is the consolation where this great monster lays, and it's put there purposefully for you to comprehend and understand the tumblers of the lock as they unfold in this great mammoth display of sign language in the heavens. If you could just understand, all you could have to, the 13th shapes here on the Consolation series would save your soul if you would follow it to a T. Praise Yahweh. Now, let's go to the third and the final as we're getting away. Time's getting away. We don't have but a few minutes to cover this one. Now, we're going into the third and the minor. And Perseus, the breaker, which is a picture of a mighty man. He is stepping with one foot on the brightest part of the Milky Way. Now, that is in the nebula of the great constellation of Orion, wearing a helmet on his head and wings on his feet. In his right hand, he holds aloft a great sword. In his left hand, he is carrying away the blood-dripping head of the enemy he has slain. Oh, my. What a conclusion to the Ram series here in the constellation of Aries. That this great one, that we know him as Yahweh, and the mythology here is Perseus, the breaker, meaning that he is the slayer of the enemy. Now, in Micah chapter 2, verse 13, let me give you this. The breaker is come up before them. That's why he's called the breaker. And they have broken up and have passed through the gate and are gone out by it, and their king, here he is in the heavens, shall pass before them, and Yahweh on the head of them. So Yahweh now has taken the head of the great monster. He said, I beheld Satan as lightning fell from heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, if you go to the 12th chapter of the book of Revelations and just read and study and pray in that area, he could open up your understanding. You might know what the scripture is trying to tell you. Now, let us quickly look at the, in light of the revelation of the sign, that it is impossible now to mistake the truth hidden in this legend. The Greeks, though they had lost the true meaning of the legend, they had preserved a trace of it, and so had many other of the past civilizations. We don't know where this information of the constellations came from. It has no beginning and no end in history. Isn't it marvelous that the ancients knew more about the heavens than we do today, and we have all these great astronomers and astrologers, and we have all these craft floating around out there, and we have perfect positioners and star map finders and things of this nature, and yet we know so little about what's going on, or at least we do, the average layman, and that's all our fault. It's simply because we refuse to learn, to look up, and to hasten the day that we can understand. Notice now, praise Yahweh, that we need to come under this. Now, let me tell you a little bit about the people that are born under Aries, their character and their fortune. Those that are born from March the 22nd to April the 20th under the fortune and masculine sign, under the sign of the first fire, are thought to be those who believe in astrology to be strong, full of energy and spirit, with a great vital force driving them to probe and to create in many of the arts. So the Aries are fire sign. It is something that is positive and outgoing. And they try to shine in public, and they love music and dancing and gaiety. They're full of impulses and are ever striving toward creative experimenting. Thus, they are ever ready to fight for success in life or spiritual matters. And Aries is a good sign to teach. They grasp things real quick, and they swallow, and they pursue with stubbornness. Their faults are stubbornness and impatience, and sometimes selfishness and foolish generosity. Women born under Aries are often quite jealous. Women born under this sign are also, they can overcome this by patience and kindness. So you've got to work at your weaknesses here, ladies and gentlemen. Diamonds and bloodstones are the jewels of the mouth, and the favorite flower is the violet. And here now is the world's richest experience and the greatest consolation there, the largest, where we have this depiction of the great story of the realm and the golden fleece, praise Yahweh, as he is there to slay our enemy, Satan, that old dragon, the devil, Leviathan, that layeth in the sea, the cosmic sea, and the story is evident. He will be defeated. We shall overcome by the blood and the braveness of the Lamb, praise Yahweh. The great Ram will later subdue the serpent and the Leviathan and the monster Cletus in the constellation of Aries. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to The Shepherd's Call. I'm Pastor Buddy, and if you'd like to write me tonight, simply write me, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip is 37824. If you'd like to call me after the broadcast, I'd love to talk with you. And if you get a busy signal, sometimes after the broadcast, we get a flood of calls. But be persistent. Keep calling. And or if you get a voicemail recording, just leave your message, and I'll call you back at the first early convenience. This is area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. And I'd be glad to communicate with you about this great series of the constellations. Now, we also appreciate you. Most of you that write me, some of you tithe to me, and some of you send me offerings, some just say hello, and it's just nice sometimes just to hear your voice. And if you've called me before, don't worry, you won't bother me. Call me again. This is my life. This is what I do. I love to talk. I love to praise, and I love to hear your stories. If you've been defeated and you're down, I'm here to help you get up, praise Yahweh. If you're on top of the clouds, well, reach down and grab me and jerk me up, and we'll both dance and praise the King. That's our purpose, is to have fellowship one with another. And I appreciate all your calls, all your encouragement. Now, if you've got anything negative to say, you can go ahead and say that, praise Yahweh. But before we get through talking to you, we'll convert you and baptize you in the name of Yahweh. That's our mission, our objective, and our goals. We've had people coming from foreign countries, ladies and gentlemen. This is amazing that I saw this 20 years ago, and it's now unfolding in front of my eyes. I just lived, a prophecy came true that I received 20 years ago. This week, a wonderful man came in from the great country of Spain, flew in, and caught a plane, a charter plane in from New York down to Atlanta, from Atlanta back to Knoxville, and from Knoxville. He took a cab, ladies and gentlemen, drove all the way to New Tazewell, Knoxville, Tennessee. We're 50 miles north of Knoxville, Tennessee. That's a little place. You might have trouble finding us on the map. We've got folks coming on the 15th out of the state of Michigan to be baptized. Praise Yahweh. We understand it. We're so thankful that men and women are coming from around the world to repent and to have their souls sanctified and washed in the great, magnanimous, magnificent, all-powerful, ever-loving, kind kingdom name of Yahweh. And for that cause, we are eternally grateful. That's what we're called for. I'm just like the sheep in the pen that's most happy, praise Yahweh, to be doing the work of the Father. It is not a burden to me when I have to minister to your needs. It's what I'm called for, and I do it. I just love the position that I'm in to be a teacher, and I love to teach kindness and love and truth that will set you free. So if you need repentance, repent every one of you and be baptized in the great, magnificent name of Yahweh for the remission of sin. If you don't have anybody to baptize you where you're at, just get on down here to New Tazewell, Tennessee, and Pastor Buddy will take you to our wonderful river over here that comes out of the mountains of East Tennessee. And we will baptize you and seal you into the kingdom of the great King of all kings. And you won't have to fear Cletus the sea monster anymore. Yahweh bless you. We are down at the bottom of the hour. We're going to see you Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Yahweh direct your path. Yahweh bless you eternally. And we'll see you then. Praise Yahweh.
Shepherd's Call, live on Truth Radio. We hope you'll join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this same station. Praise Yahweh.